listening to Pro Booth Talk, photo booth insight, tips, and banter recorded by boothers for boothers. Brought to you by ProBoothTalk.com.
Lap, how are you doing?
Hi, Jason.
Welcome back.
I'm doing great. What about you?
I'm good. I'm good. So moving on to our next topic, one of the most controversial topics in the photo booth world, probably other industries as well, but certainly with photo booths, is putting prices on your website. So obviously there's going to be a lot of different opinions, and like, spoiler alert, I don't think there's any real correct answer. It's going to depend a lot on your business and what you hope to achieve and what you're marketing and whatnot. But I thought still we should give our opinions and discuss how each one of us do it and why we do what we do. So do you have any prices on your website?
I don't. I used to have at least a price sheet. I don't even do that anymore. What about you?
I'm in the same ballpark exactly. I used to for a long time. We started with having prices on our website, and eventually I took them off. So I've been on both sides of the coin, and I have experience in both places. So when I don't have them on now, it comes from a place of experience and the results that I know that I get based on the way that I run our business. I think it could be very beneficial if you have basically a three-hour package with an album, and I don't know, another three-hour package or a four-hour package. Basically, if you have just a couple packages, then it's probably beneficial to throw some prices on there and let people book right away. I know a lot of people that use Boothbook like having their prices on there because people are able to go to their website, book, and never even reach out or communicate. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that model doesn't really work with us. So in the past, obviously, when we had prices on our website, we had a much higher booking rate because people, when they reached out to us, they were ready to book. They saw the prices, and very rarely did they have any kind of questions because they were already committed. So we were booking almost 90% of the leads that came in, but we had like only about 20% of the leads that we have coming in as we do now. So with five times the leads that we get now, we book like 28 to 30% of them, which is actually a much higher percentage number of people. And obviously we have a higher dollar amount as well. So it definitely works better for us. I feel this way. We get to at least talk to them and have an opportunity to book people with smaller budgets. So when they call up, and a lot of people don't know what it's supposed to cost. And when you're putting the price on the website, I feel like it kind of tells people what it's going to cost. And at that point, if they see the prices and they're deciding between five people, they're only deciding between the price. And I don't ever want people to decide on me because of my price. If people are booking me because of my price, then I feel like I'm doing something wrong. Like, I want people that are shopping for value or experiences or something like that, a certain level that they need provided to their event, and not who can be the cheapest photo booth company. And ultimately, that's why we try to stay away from the prices on the website.
Was it a hard move for you, a hard decision to pull prices? Like, what was the moment where you decided that you wanted to pull prices offline? Was there anything that happened specifically?
No, I mean, there's a lot of discussion on the photo booth forums. So I was kind of afraid to, because when I started this, I was very introverted. I didn't want to have those phone calls with people. And that's a good reason to have prices on your website too, if you don't want to talk to anybody. And also, you know, I just didn't have time to take calls whenever somebody called in. And obviously there's a lot more selling. There's a lot more talking to people. There's a lot more emails when you don't have prices on, because now you're encouraging people to call or email to get those prices. So that was my biggest thing. Like, if I don't have the prices, they're going to have to call me and I'm going to have to sell to them. I'm not a salesperson. I've never done sales in my life. So it was kind of a scary move for me in that respect. So it really wasn't until I wasn't so wet behind the ears anymore, I guess, when I knew the product really well, I could discuss it very intelligently. And I had done enough events where I was more comfortable talking to random people about what we do. So then I started encouraging people to call, and I started asking for phone numbers on lead sheets so I could call them up and ask, you know, yeah. Did you get your quote? Do you have any questions? Let me, you know, discuss what's important about your event to you. And been beneficial for us. I don't see us ever going back to having prices. And now, like, not having prices also gives us the opportunity, if we're having a slow week, you know, I could say, so our typical like 3-hour photo booth for a social event, like a wedding right now is $1,300. So, but if it's a slow Saturday, we only have two jobs booked or something. I could say, you know, let's book this for $800 and let's just close it. And we're still profitable and we can still pay our staff and whatnot. Without ever like putting that on the website or making those changes public. Or if on the flip side of that, when we're having a very busy Saturday,
like
we've got Saturday, we do charge completely different on Saturday. But this Saturday, for some reason, we have every one of our booths out, and we've got a couple people in town that we'll rent booths from when this happens. And now I've got that extra cost of renting a booth from somebody. So now someone calls and we just basically change our price to include the cost of renting this booth from somebody, and they don't know that they're being charged more because they're not comparing what I say to a price that they saw on the website. So it gives you that flexibility, right? to kind of control your prices on a whim if you ever need to do that. And also, I think a lot of people have cheaper prices on the weekends. So now you're getting into a situation where you have multiple different price points for different days, for different packages. And to me, that just kind of starts getting confusing and kind of gumming up everything. But again, the people that do put their prices on their websites, I see where there's that transparency and trust. If I'm looking for a service, like someone to come clean my yard or something, I'm looking for someone that has prices on their website. So but I know that I'm not my own client. Like if you don't have a price on your website, then I'm just closing your website. I'm not even giving you the time of the day, but that's because I'm specifically searching by prices and I'm not really caring about the company that can, you know, turn my hedges into swans, or, you know, the higher profile companies. I just want a group of guys to come out and pull my weeds and, you know, make my yard look good. And price is really the only thing I'm concerned with. So that's,
I think having your website on your, having your price on your website, I think that works if you're selling a photo booth as just a photo booth, like just, you know, something that snaps photos, digital sharing, just very standard. I think that works great. My one peeve, me as a shopper, I remember when I was first looking at, you know, just pricing out other photo booth companies, the ones that would actually list, you know, because there's quite a few that list their prices online. And I would go through the packages and I would just sit there and think, I cannot tell the difference between package A, the silver, the premium, the platinum. They all look the same to me. I think that creates a issue. Me as a shopper, my own shopping habits, I refuse to commit to something if I don't really know what the difference is and if that difference is worth the cost increase. And I feel like with photo booths, it's stuff like, oh, it includes a USB card or it includes a memory book. But when you have a whole list of things listed, you don't right away pick out what that upgrade from like a standard to a silver to a gold package is, you know? That's what I used to do with my website. I used to have, not my website, but my price sheet. I'm sorry. I used to have like three main packages in sales. That's what they teach you. You have like the premium, you have the mid, and then you have the lower starting rate. But I would look at my packages and I would wonder, like, I don't even know. This is me selling my own services. I don't even know what the difference is, you know? And back then I was charging so little that it was very little difference in price, like $50, $75. Embarrassed to say that, but that was what it was, you know? And for weddings, you don't really offer anything besides, before iPad booths. Now we have iPad booths and that's its own category of selfie booths or whatnot. But before, when I first started, it was just, you know, 3-hour package, actually I had 2-hour packages, 3-hour packages, 4-hour packages. That was really essentially the only difference. And I would give them, you know, a little bonus for adding more hours. And it became a thing where people would call me and ask me, what's the difference? And you actually end up spending more time trying to explain the differences and the costs increase for that. I pulled my prices from price sheets because of that, because there was no real difference. You know, there was no real difference. It was just me following the whole sales tactic of having three packages. You're always supposed to have three products. You show them the best, you show them the medium, the mid-range, and then, you know, the basic, which most people will sign up for. Two-hour package back in the day. Not doing that anymore because two-hour packages don't even make sense for most events, you know?
Sure.
But we branched out to so many different offerings. Having a price for all of our services doesn't even make sense because just the services that we offer is already overwhelming. And I feel like when you put your price on there, they don't even know. You put your prices, publish your prices online, you don't even have the opportunity to talk to them about all the cool things that you do because the industry has grown and evolved so much in like 10 years. I remember back in the day, light painting was amazing. It was, you know, I saw it. Somebody did it at PBX and I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like I was blown away. And every year we've, you know, companies, manufacturers, software companies, they've, you know, really improved a lot of, made a lot of things accessible to us. And we're able to deliver a lot more cool, unique things. CMYK, glam was really popular for a long time. Like there's no way to cover all of those awesome services that you can deliver with just one flat price, you know, unless you cater to weddings or just like birthday parties, then I think that structure works really well. But like, I know you and me, we do more custom stuff. There's no way you can communicate pricing. I mean, talking about just things like logistics, you know, like sure. Certain venues just take more time to load in, you know?
And in Las Vegas, you know, like the strip, pricing for parking is so fluid. Sometimes you're going to park for free. Sometimes it's going to be $15 and sometimes it's going to be $125 because there's a concert going on next door and everyone's using their parking. So you just never know. The logistics are so changing constantly.
Yes.
And
SoFi Stadium is like that. Yeah. SoFi Stadium parking. We've done events for the Rams and parking is like too. Yeah. I mean, you know, we get it. Covered by our client, but it's not always the case. So you can actually, I feel like if you're doing beyond just the basic like wedding, birthday parties, I feel like you possibly can shoot yourself in the foot for posting prices because then you really have to stick to it regardless of, you know, if you're, I know we're getting like some leads for, sometimes we get stuff for like Coachella, like there's no way, you know, if you're doing a multi-day, those rooms during Coachella is like 400% what they normally cost. You know, there's no way that you can deliver services and have your people driving in every single day, battling that crowd of cars. And there's no way you can even get a room, you know? So there's a lot of factors when you start doing things beyond just like birthdays and weddings.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest division there is if you've got some very simple packages and you're doing just a cut, paste and repeat situation, which is fine. It's a business model that works for a lot of people and you don't need to do anything more. I think putting the prices on the website and letting them book instantly makes sense. But when you start building out to offering jobs for marketing events and getting a library of several different products, it just doesn't make sense anymore. You need to know logistically more information about what's going on and everything's going to cost more. Also, if you change your prices every year, like we do, and I hope most people out there do as well, like the labor of changing prices and all over your web, like we've got prices that we send to our specific clients and things like that, and it's built into our invoices. So we just select a product and the price pops up for things that are very replicatable, like a wedding package. Obviously, it is going to be priced almost the same every single time. And we already have to go in and change all those prices in our inventory software and on our partner price sheet because our partners do, like the wedding planners we work with, they do need to know the prices, obviously, so they can sell them to their brides.
Sell the service. Yeah,
and we've already got so many places that every year we've got a list of places we've got to go and change all the prices on, and you know the website would just be one more place, and it's just more work than it's worth. Especially because, I mean, like we've already covered, you're creating a price sensitivity where people are only
shopping by price, and I'd rather have that phone call anyways. And if they discount us because we don't have a price, and maybe they're calling those three people that they've settled on because of the price, and now we don't get the opportunity to talk to them because our prices weren't on the website. But honestly, our prices are so much higher than most people's anyways that they would have, if they're shopping by price, they would have never called us to begin with. So I don't
think we would have been eliminated immediately.
Yeah. And I think the perception also, like value positioning, like the perception of not having a price, like if you're looking at like handbags, and I don't know why I say handbags because I don't know anything about handbags, so hopefully I'm correct here. You'll have handbags that have prices if you go to like Target or Walmart, but if you go to like a luxury store, oftentimes they won't have the prices, like a price tag labeled right on them. Or, you know, if you go to a fancy steakhouse and you have the market price stuff, you know, like your brain says those things are more expensive and they're more luxurious because they don't have the prices on them. And I feel like when people see a bunch of websites with prices and then they come to a website that doesn't have prices, I feel like their mindset automatically positions that company as an elevated company that more luxury based because they don't have prices, just because kind of that's the world that we live in. If there's not a price, it means it's more expensive.
So that's interesting.
I think they expect to hear a higher price than they normally would.
That's really interesting. I've never thought of it like that. I just know for me, exactly what you're saying, like my prices tend to be a lot higher. And I'm very transparent with my clients. So my clients will tell me direct, you know, because we have those kind of conversations, and they'll tell me direct, you guys are the most expensive of like the five. I mean, not even just a little bit. You're like the most expensive by a lot, you know. Why is there a price difference? And a lot of people, I feel what you're saying, you used to put your prices online so that you didn't have to have that conversation. But I have a really extensive sales background. So it's very, I'm very comfortable with having those conversations. And when they ask me that, I love when they ask me those questions, because if you know what you bring value-wise, why you're different, they hear it when you're talking to them, you know, and that not having my prices online gives me the opportunity for them to understand why we're not half our costs, you know. And I've had people who, you know, at first freak out. There's no way these other people are charging these ridiculous amount of money, you know, ridiculous rate. And, you know, they have different business costs. They have a different business structure. I don't think there's anything wrong with charging less. You just have to be doing volume to be able to make it profitable for you. But I, you know, our clients, I'm very direct. We're not the cheapest. We're nowhere near the cheapest. We don't try to be the cheapest, you know, and there's clients that like hearing that. There's clients that like hearing you're not cheap. They like hearing that you're probably one of the most expensive, you know, but they just need to understand why. So having the ability to have them call you or you call them just opens up opportunity. I mean, we did a wedding where this couple was budget everything. They had their own family DJ. They had the bride herself was the planner. Her family and friends were the ones decorating the tables. And the only vendor that she booked was us because she understood the value. And that's the thing. If you're putting your prices online, that works if you're just selling it as kind of like a book that you're ordering, kind of like a pair of shoes that you're ordering. You're just finding a pair of shoes, you order it, it delivers to you, right? But
right, for the type of services,
product versus service. And I feel like the type of services that we offer, it's not just a machine that's taking photos. Like a lot of our clients, they know the team themselves, you know, like they love the energy that our team brings. And that's a selling point for us. And that's something that I'm very confident. So I never take that question, like, why are you so expensive? Like, I love that question because it really allows me to explain and show them the reason why so many people love us. So many people book us and they know that we're dependable. It just gives me the opportunity to sell why we're worth what we are, you know? But
I think
again,
that is a topic worth exploring in itself, the why are you so expensive? And we should probably hit that with its own show.
Do a whole nother show. Soon.
Yeah. Why are you so expensive? Because it is something that comes up a lot, besides being like, you should probably be more expensive than where you're at. Justifying why you're more expensive is important, and not only to yourself, but also to your client. And that is show worthy. I'll by itself.
I think that's a big topic for sure.
Yeah, so we'll hit that just to not take too much time on the topic of prices on websites. And I do have an anecdotal story of a client that called up with a $200 budget. And of course, people, when they call up or they've got these small budgets, a lot of times they pulled that budget out of thin air. It's not really their budget. They just have never
booked
a photo booth before. So they have no idea what it costs. So they're just like, I don't know what my, like, is our photo booth $200? So we ended up booking this lady for, and this was like a midday birthday party for her kid at a place in town that does like, it's called Dig This, and they do things with like backhoes and tractors where you can rent these and just like go and like crush cars and stuff. It's a cool place. So we did her kid's birthday party and we charged $7 because it was midday on a weekday. And even though she had a $200 budget, we were able to sell that. And then she also booked, she was owner of a company, and she also booked us for $1,600 for her company's holiday party that year. And the Dig This company ended up, they saw what we were doing. They asked questions and we ended up selling them a lease, and we have a kiosk there now. And I understand that this story, like you always hear these stories, which are obviously the exception to the rule. Like, everyone that calls up with a $200 budget isn't going to turn into a lease and several other jobs down the road. But I mean, the biggest takeaway from that story really is if we had our prices on our website, then we would have never had that conversation. Right. Yeah. And that conversation never would have taken place, and we would have never even been able to speak to this person and explain, you know, what the photo booth is and why it costs what it is, and tell them like $200, like do that math in your head. Like, someone's going out there. Someone said it, like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That has come up, especially with the price changes in this past year or two after COVID, but a lot of people would reach out and be like, wow, the prices seem like they've increased. And, you know, like, yes, it has increased everything. You know, I joke about this a lot because KFC fried chicken, like, I used to buy fried chicken for what, like $19? this is me on a personal level. And I would tell
anyone with kids,
I used to buy a bucket of chicken for like $19. It's like $48 now. I don't want to pay $48, but, you know, it's the cost of what it is to do business. And I haven't had any pushback from any clients about it. I think it's not eliminating that conversation makes a huge difference. Like, when you put your prices on there, if you're not a cookie cutter company, I feel like it just minimizes your opportunity, you know, because there's a lot of people, like exactly what you said, they've never booked a photo booth ever before. So they only have what they see on Craigslist. Craigslist is like, I remember it was like $200 for a 2-hour rental, you know? So in their mind, they already have a set price. And if you put your price, that's the other thing. If you put your prices online, you might not even know the value. I feel like a lot of us, this industry is very new for the most part, right? And there's a lot of us, and I was one of them, that like didn't even realize the value of what we brought. Like, I was pricing a photo booth for $100. Imagine if I slapped the price on my website. You're setting a benchmark for people, what they think. They might think a photo booth is worth more, and you slap a whole different price online, and you're telling potential clients like, no, a photo booth is not worth what you think it is. It's worth what I think it is, you know? So that's the other thing that prevents me from putting my prices online, because one customer might think a photo booth should be $50 an hour. Another one might know that a photo booth should be $1,600 for 4 hours. So putting your prices on there kind of just, you know, you never know if they think that it's worth more and you don't. And a lot of us boothers, I feel like we don't know the value of what we bring. It's sad, you know, like the whole being worth less than a cheese platter, like that was a reality for me, you know, and realizing that for the marketing side of it, for corporate marketing value, advertising value, brand awareness for weddings. I mean, you won't ever have your grandparents, your parents, your kids, your grandkids, your friends in high school. You're never going to have that moment of time ever again. So that picture is worth way more than when they initially reach out, what they think that's worth, you know, when when they have that photo in their hand afterwards, that's when they know the value of like what you bring. And we should know the value of that too. You know, it's something that, you know, you eventually learn when you've been doing this for as long as you have. But that's the other thing about not putting your prices online. Like, I don't feel like a lot of us even know what we're worth yet.
I agree. And I mean, there are other options. It's not just black and white, put your prices or don't put your prices. Of course, you can do the photo booth from $695 standpoint, just so you have a base bottom price. Or you could say services between $695 and $1,995 to give people a range. And a lot of people I know go that direction as well, which, again, is fine. But to me, again, it's not if you have a tremendous number of things, because I guess we should kind of stick to social events, because a marketing event, I mean, the price can be between, you know, $1,000
and $250,000.
So yeah, there's no ceiling, where a social event like a wedding typically is going to be between these two prices. But I took that advice at one point and put prices starting at $795, because, you know, on a weekday we will do $795. But then, you know, I had someone call up and they're like, I want a $795 photo booth. And we're like, well, it's Saturday night and it's a busy day and we don't have a $795 photo booth.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what can we do to take it off to make it a $795 photo booth? Because you listed that you have photo booth starting at $795. I'm like, yeah, that's our bottom rate, which is a midweek, you know, Wednesday afternoon. So now
and that just creates a whole extra conversation, though.
And it's a negative conversation that is really hard to back out of. And, you know, now you kind of look like the asshole that's kind of doing a bait and switch. So I didn't want to get into that. So after that phone call, I took that off right away. And we don't have any indicators at all, personally.
I do when I have the conversation with them about like what the starting rates are. And then once they start asking for, you know, more things like, oh, custom backdrop or early arrival or arrival set up the day before, you know, then you start, it makes sense to them why the cost increases, because, you know, they're adding a lot more than just the basic package. So I usually have that conversation with them when I'm on the phone with them. But I don't really have it anywhere, not even on when we used to do bridal shows, and we would say, you know, like people would ask us about pricing. I don't put starting prices on there either, because I felt the same way. Like it was a whole like downhill battle with the conversation of just convincing them why you don't have that base price.
But and I think maybe bridal shows is a topic we should hit on at some point as well, because I know you don't do them anymore. We do them. I don't know if we're going to continue much longer or not, but we can maybe explore that a little bit. But interestingly, you bring that up, because that is the one place that we actually publish prices, because everyone really, besides wanting to give them the experience and having a photo booth there, everyone is definitely just price shopping there. They want to know, like, their first question is how much, and we try to steer away from that and kind of bring in a conversation of, you know, where are you getting married or how did you guys meet, and kind of create a relationship more than just a price point. But at the end of the day, like, they are hard nosed that they want prices. So we do have like a rack card or a trifold that has like basic wedding package pricing that we give out at bridal shows. And that's the only place that we like actively just blindly publish prices.
I don't do that. When I was doing bridal shows, I didn't even talk about pricing. Like our whole thing was just pitching the services that we had. We didn't get into, I actually didn't even try to close any brides on site. So I always wanted to have, because it's just so much going on. There's too much going on for them to focus. And then, you know, no matter how much of an impression you want to make, they're exactly what you're saying. They're just price shopping, and there's no way I'm going to win on the price. If you're only shopping for price, there's no way I'm going to win on that front. Because it's not the way my business is structured, where, you know, we're trying to be the best. We are the best value, but different people have a different definition of like what value is to them. You know, like someone who's throwing a party for their kid, you know, and I always tell my clients this too, like if you're throwing like a fifth birthday party, a sixth birthday party, your entire budget isn't even going to be enough to rent one of our photo booths. And that's okay, because I'm a mom, you know, like I am not booking for my 5-year-old daughter. I'm not booking, you know, a $2,000 glam booth unless I was that type of clientele, you know?
Right.
Not all of us have that kind of luxury. Some people do, and that's cool too, you know? I was going to tell you something about the website thing, the website pricing structure online, but I forget what I was going to say about that.
Well, you'll
remember. So many conversations going on. It's an interesting topic though, you know, like, because there's a lot of people that just, they don't, when I get that question about like pricing online and things like that, like for me, it's, you just, if your business is structured where you're just booking volume, because there's a lot of companies here in where I'm at, California, and there is, you know, one guy that's been doing this for a long, long time, and he makes it on, you know, the page. People always notice the price because it's something crazy, like $125 for like 5 hours. He's been in business for a long, long time, and it's just a different approach. Like I used to think like, oh, if you don't charge enough, you're not making what you should. But I realize that there's different ways of structuring your business. Like if you are going to be a like Walmart where you're just doing volume, then, you know, it's okay if you're charging, you know, it a lot less than someone who's bringing something that's bespoke, you know, because you're not pushing quality. You're not pushing, you know, a certain type of experience. You're just delivering the bare minimum of what that client wants. And there's clients that just want that bare minimum. So I'm not, you know, for those companies that, you know, do just cookie cutter, just, we're just selling you guys a booth. It could be an iPhone camera. It could be a digital camera. They used to use that. I forgot what those old digital cameras were, but you know, it could just be a basic booth just for entertainment. You know, it's, if you're doing volume, it's a different business structure. So for companies like that, it totally makes sense. Like if I ran a company where it was just, you know, we're not promising you any sort of a beautiful, gorgeous photos that you can, you know, frame. We're just selling you an experience that keeps your guests entertained at your 5-year-old daughter's birthday party. You know, having your website online is really beneficial. You can just book it while people are booking your booth while you're sleeping. Like that is, there's nothing great wrong with that. There's
and drop-offs come to mind.
When
talking, like if you're one of the companies that are focused on the digital kiosk drop-offs, you're not doing prints, you're just going and setting up a photo booth and coming back and picking it up. Like,
yeah,
you 100% just need to have price on your website. Don't talk to anyone. Just book them as fast as they can come in and drop off the booths and pick them back up again.
And there's companies that are making, you know, amazing revenue profits just selling drop offs, you know, and mm-hmm. and if you run a business like that, having your website up there, I would have my website up there.
The prices make sense.
Yeah, it's just very cookie cutter. You know, you slap their name or their event title on a basic overlay, maybe have just a couple options. Then having your price there, people can, you know, you're like kind of like an eBay. Like people will just book it as a, you know, just a photo experience that's keeping people entertained. There's no guidelines on what you deliver, you know. For my company, it's totally different because, you know, we focus on like quality of photos and output and framing and, you know, a lot more.
Perfect. Well, I think that about wraps it up. I guess I'm not surprised that we do it the same way. I know there's a lot of things that we do differently, but I purposely didn't ask you before we started recording if you had your prices on the website because I didn't know and I wanted to find out.
Yeah, I don't.
But I assumed that we were probably in the same ballpark in that area. But anyways, we're going to wrap it up. I thank everyone for tuning in because I've never done that before, and we're growing here. We're learning as well. And we do have a Facebook group that has me and Lap and like 3 other people in it. So come say hi, join us.
Come join.
We'll see you next time.
Help to keep this free information coming. Subscribe to Pro Booth Talk in iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And while you're there, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Finally, watch for show updates at facebook.com/ProBoothTalk.